Welcome to the Born in the 80s podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dyer, back after a three-month leave, which was not my fault this time. I had some computer troubles. By computer troubles, I mean my video card exploded and pretty much took everything else with it. So my computer had to pretty much get completely rebuilt, which was pretty shitty. I had my computer blow up, my car break down, and my MP3 player die all in the same week a couple months ago, so it was pretty shitty. The car gets fixed, 500, you know, I get a new MP3 player given to me by a friend, which is cool, and I get the computer repaired. All I have to do is pay for shipping. Wasn't too bad, but being out of computer like 2.5 months was shitty. So, basically, it sucked. I had no computer. I had to go to my college to fucking use the internet and shit, so it really, really sucked. So that's why there wasn't a show. So I got your email saying, where are you? And I tried to answer those back the best I could. So, you know, I wasn't, whatever they call, not podcasting quickly enough, pod fading. Yes, that's the word for it. So I wasn't doing that. You know, I still like doing the show every once in a while. So sorry about that, everybody, but my computer exploded and there's still a couple things that need to get repaired on it, so I'd like to say fuck Cyberpower PC, they're a bunch of dicks, and I hate them. So, basically, let's get the show started. And I'm not really prepared for the show, I usually don't prepare for the show, but let's talk about the first movie I seen today, actually, was Pineapple Express, the new pot humor basically movie. You know, there's always a pot movie, and I actually really enjoyed this movie. You know, there's a lot of pot humor in it. There's a lot of funny moments, and there's actually some pretty decent action scenes in it. I mean, it's pretty funny to see Seth Rogen, you know, a fat Jewish guy who, you know, that just looks like your regular stoner or whatever, you know, in some fight scenes doing some crazy shit, which was pretty funny. But overall, I definitely enjoyed this movie. Is it a movie you necessarily have to see on the big screen? Probably not. You could wait for rental on this one. If you don't like pot humor, I mean, you're probably not going to like it. So, you know, if you don't like pot humor, then stay away because, you know, some people don't enjoy that sort of thing. Next movie I seen was Mummy 3 in a sequel I don't think anybody was really asking for it, you know. I seen all the Mummy movies, you know, I thought they were okay. I really wasn't looking to see this movie in the theater, but my old man kind of dragged me into it. And we were at this weird theater in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, or something like that. I had to drive my old man out there to see some customer. He's a sales dude for General Motors and stuff, so he slipped in the bathtub and hurt his back, real, like, old man move. So I had to drive him out there, and we saw it out there, and the audience was a mix of white trash and hot Asian chicks. So it was a weird dynamic. The theater was kind of shitty, the sound was kind of sort of off, but I digress. But anyways, Mummy 3 had some decent CGI, good action, the plot, you know. Are you really looking for a plot in The Mummy 3? I would say if you enjoyed the first two Mummy films, you're going to enjoy this film. There's a lot more Asian action. By Asian action, I mean, you know, kung fu type of deal. The plot's not really important, you know. Yo, look, you know, the Brendan Fraser's son finds a mummy. Oh, how convenient is that? And basically at the end of the movie, they allude to a fourth movie, so I'm sure they'll make it if this one makes enough money. Speaking of making a lot of money, I seen The Dark Knight. I was looking forward to this movie a little bit. I liked Batman Begins. I didn't think it was the greatest movie in the world, but I enjoyed it. And seeing that movie makes you appreciate this movie even more. But then again, it kind of takes away. If you rewatch Batman Begins, it just feels like a whole lot of setup to this movie. But I really enjoyed Dark Knight. Action scenes were good. A lot of the Batman's, you know, I like the darker side of things. Heath Ledger's Joker was really cool, way better than Jack Nicholson's Joker. But there was some scenes in here you could have cut out. It was kind of long. I think you could have cut it down to about 2 hours. The scene in China, yeah, Hong Kong, they could have cut that out. Sure, it was kind of a cool scene, but it's something you could have slapped on the DVD. And kind of the ending with the ferry boats and stuff like that, I thought that was kind of meh. So I would have wished they went for a different ending, but overall, you can't really complain. I thought it was a really good movie. I think it was as good as Iron Man was. They're two very different movies, but people tend to compare them because they are, you know, comic book movies. Continuing along with sequels I don't think anybody was really asking for, I saw Starship Troopers 3, which I enjoy Starship Troopers 1. I thought it was a fun B-DVD type movie. Nothing really special in it, but I really enjoyed Starship Troopers for just, you know, a B-movie. Starship Troopers 2, I remember seeing it. I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember there was no real characters in it that you were, reminded of or anything. Overall, I thought it was kind of stupid. And I also watched I don't know if anybody remembers, I think it was on UPN. It was like a CGI Starship Troopers television show. I don't know, probably about 5-6 years ago it was on. I really enjoyed that, but, you know, we come to Starship Troopers thing, I don't know, I was just mumbling there, I don't even know what I was saying, but Starship Troopers 3, this was the return of Johnny Rico, which is Casper Van Dien, the actor that everybody thought was going to be big, but ended up being just like a C-list celebrity type dude, I guess. And I actually enjoyed his role in the first one, but his role in this one is, like, completely different. There's a new bug war for some reason, I guess, and somehow the bugs are winning this one compared to the last one. And it was just not a very good movie. To be basic with you, I guess if you're a hardcore Starship Troopers fan, I guess you're going to go see this. But overall, it was just not a good movie, almost sort of painful to get through, I would say. But, you know, that's Starship Troopers 3. I wouldn't go see it again or ever. A couple other movies I did see in theater were Wanted, Angelina Jolie and some other people in it, Morgan Freeman, if you will. This was supposedly based on the comic book series, which it really isn't. It kind of falls in line with, I can't even remember the name. Well, anyways, don't bother what I'm saying here. I'm just babbling. But anyways, this was supposedly based on the comic book, which it really isn't. It just has the name slapped on it and the name of the main character slapped on it. So if you're a big fan of the comic book, you're probably not going to enjoy this movie. Overall, I thought it was a decent action movie if you don't think of it as, you know, based off the comic book. People who have no idea about the comic book, I think, will enjoy this movie. A lot of good action, fun. It's kind of long. You see Angelina Jolie's ass, which is always good. Unless it was a stunt double ass. Who knows? Got to get to the bottom of that. You can either mail that to me. But she's shown her titties in movies, so I guess she wouldn't care about showing her ass. But Angelina Jolie, still definitely hot. Wanted, good action. Morgan Freeman, being Morgan Freeman. I definitely enjoyed that one. It's probably out of theaters by now, so go see it on DVD. I saw Hellboy 2. I really enjoyed this one. The CGI was really on in this movie. I like Ron Perlman's... Ron Perlman and his depiction of Hellboy is, I think, pretty good. Overall, it's definitely a movie I think you should pick up if you enjoyed the first one. And I actually think it's better than the first one. I think there's a lot of better fights, better monsters. You see a fuller world, I think, in this movie compared to the first one. Another Ron Perlman-type movies, I saw The Last Winter, which had Ron Perlman in it. And it's Ron Perlman and a cast of... You'll know him as, like, television-type actors and movie actors, you know, supporting-type actors, where you don't really know their name, but you've seen them before type of deal. And Ron Perlman is the head of this oil drilling outpost in Antarctica? No, not Antarctica. It's the North Pole type of deal. And strange things start to happen. And they think at first maybe it's this thing called sour gas that's making them hallucinate. But later you find out where it's the spirit of the earth is angry that they're drilling for oil type of deal. And nature is fighting back. And eventually kill these people off one by one or make them kill themselves or kill each other type of deal. And at the end of the movie, you know, spoilers, I guess. How many people are going to see this movie? I don't think many. But at the end of the movie, it's kind of implied that the rest of the world, like these spirits or whatever, start attacking the rest of the world. They don't really show you that, but they kind of lead you to believe that at the end. Overall, I thought it was an okay movie. It's something you might want to download and rent if you're real bored. You know, if you're a Ron Perlman fan, the acting was pretty good. The CGI was, you know, so-so, but I enjoyed the movie overall. Not bad. And the last movie I'm going to talk about is Son of Rambo. This is a British indie film where a kid who's kind of a loner and a troublemaker meets this really religious boy, and they have an idea to make a movie, Son of Rambo, and, you know, craziness ensues. They're trying to make this movie. There's this weird French kid who comes into play. This movie's kind of hard to describe, necessarily, or maybe I'm just not good at it. But I heard a lot of good things about this movie. Overall, I thought it was okay, if you're into, you know, I guess it's supposed to be kind of heartwarming or something. But I really didn't get much out of it. And I thought it was okay. Maybe you want to rent it if it, you know, look it up on IMDb if it sounds interesting. But overall, I thought it was very, you know, meh sort of deal. Oh, and I almost forgot. Drillbit Taylor is a shitty movie, and Be Kind Rewind is a shitty movie. Don't watch either one of those because they fucking suck, and they'll waste your time. Alright, I want to talk a little bit of comic books now. And when you ask comic book fans, what are some non-traditional comic books which are really, really good? They will tell you Invincible, they will tell you Why the Last Man, they will tell you Powers, they will tell you... what the fuck else will they... Fables, and they'll tell you... I don't know. Those are the main things they tell you. So... Oh, I just thought of the last one. The Walking Dead. So, I've read the first trade of The Walking Dead. I have it. I really enjoyed it. I just haven't gotten around to reading the rest of them. And I just got caught up on Invincible, which is so good. You know, it's your basic kind of superhero book until issue 12, I think it is, and everything turns upside down in his head. I can't recommend Invincible, you know, higher. It's a quick read, so it's probably something you want to get in trades. And something I'm trying to catch up on is Fables. I just read all of issues of Fables, and I've just started Jack of Fables. And Fables is probably my favorite comic book right now. And if you don't know what Fables is, it's something that might not catch your eye. It's based on fairy tales, you know, common fairy tales everybody knows, Snow White, Cinderella, you know, Jack Frost, that sort of thing, Three Little Pigs. And but it's set where all of those worlds were all linked together, and this person called the Adversary came and started conquering those worlds, so some of these fairy tales who made it out made it to the real world, or the mundane world, as they call it. And they set up a community, and these fables live centuries upon centuries. And it's a really cool take on old stories, where the first trade is kind of a murder mystery, which kind of just introduces you to all the main characters, which is fine. The second trade is called Animal Farm, where they take you to this farm, because there's kind of two sets. There's called Fable Town, where the humanoid fables live. Oh, then there's the farm where the non-human fables live. And it takes you to this farm where they're sick of being on this farm and they want to get out. So the animals start arming themselves. So it's funny to see, you know, like a pig or a tiger with like a gun and stuff. It starts to get really, really interesting, and the trades go on from there. So if that concept sounds interesting to you, definitely pick it up. If you're not reading this comic book and you're a comic book fan, I I gotta say, pick this up. I know some people out there do not like superheroes, and this is, I think, it's perfectly up your alley if you're not really into the superheroes, and you like, you know, literature. Sometimes they bring back fairy tales and fables. They mention them that I didn't even know. I had to look up on the internet, and it's just really, really cool take on a comic. I've got all the Powers and Why the Last Man issues. I just haven't gotten a chance to get through them yet, so people will have to forgive me. I'll, you know, once I get caught up on them, I'll tell you about them. All right, let's talk a little bit of TV. I hear from a lot of fans, oh, you know, you need to see Lost. It's one of the best shows on TV. Yip, yip, yippee-yo, all that sort of thing. So, you know, I've been aware of Lost, and it didn't catch my interest that much. But I had some free time on my hands the last couple of weeks, so I started to watch Lost on ABC.com. They have it free streaming there, the 4 seasons. I've gotten through seasons 1, 2, and 3, and I have like 4 episodes less of season 4. But my impression of Lost was I really enjoyed the first season. The second season was okay. The third season kind of just kept chugging along. The fourth season is just getting more convoluted. And basically, the thing that frustrates me about Lost, and I think probably most other people who watch this show, is they have all these loose ends that they hardly ever tie up, or it's just kind of lame. Like, you know, the monster, the big monster, you know, oh, what is it sort of thing in the first season is you find out it's black smoke. You don't know what the black smoke is, but, you know, the monster is black smoke. You know, that's kind of lame, and they go on episodes about, oh, there's this hatch, and you find out, okay, it's the station, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, I won't get into a whole lot of shit, but I think Lost is okay, but the people who say it's, like, the best show on TV are fucking out of their minds, because as the seasons went on, and the template is, you're on the island, oh, and they flash back to something, you're on the island, they flash back, you're on the island, they flash back, or / flash forward in the 4 seasons case. And I started to care less and less about these flashbacks to their backstories, and I started just skipping over some of them for characters I didn't give a shit about. There are definitely characters I like on there, like Hurley. I like Charlie, but, you know, he gets killed in a certain season. So there are definitely ones I like and people I hate, so I guess it's a decent show in that it can make me love or hate a character, you know what I mean? But I think Lost is a pretty much a solid show, and I'm glad they have a definite ending date for this show, so they can, you know, try to plan out to tie up these millions of loose ends they have, and, you know, hopefully it's good. So overall, I'll give it a, you know, a C or a B. I'd say get it on DVD if you got some free time, that sort of thing. But it's definitely not as good as Heroes. It's definitely not as good as Dexter. It's not as good as a lot of those shows. So, you know, for all you Super Lost fans out there, it's not the greatest show on television. You're fucking high. I don't know what your deal is. So since my computer was down for about 3 months or 2.5 or whatever, I haven't had a chance to catch up on podcasts. I've caught up on a couple, like Geekscape, Totally Rad Show. What else have I caught up on? Anyways, it doesn't really matter. But I came across a show I haven't listened to. It seems to come out maybe like once a month or twice a month. It's called the Gay Sci-Fi Nerds Podcast. I really enjoy the show. It's two gay guys. One seems to know more than the other about sci-fi. He seems to be the sci-fi nerd. He seems the more of the, I don't want to stereotype it and say dude in the relationship, but he seems a little bit more manly and masculine than the other one. And the other one is more of a flamboyant. I believe he does drag as well, and I think their show is probably one of the funniest podcasts there is out there. Plus, I enjoy sci-fi, so they usually have pretty good sci-fi news. And them just, their take on things I think is really funny. Them talking about wanting to, like, you know, sodomize, like, certain guys like Tom Selleck and, you know, other people like that, Harrison Ford. Like, one of them talked about seeing Indiana Jones and seeing Harrison Ford, and there was like some Crisco next to him, so it was like his fantasy. So I thought that was just hilarious. And, you know, these are just two happy-go-lucky gay guys, from sounds of it, like to get high, hang out, you know, watch sci-fi films. So if you like sci-fi, if you like comedy, listen to the Gay Sci-Fi Nerds podcast. But I guess if you're homophobic, you ain't gonna really like it. But definitely, you guys go check that out. And if you do enjoy the show, send them an email. Tell them Born in the 80s sent ya. I'm a fan of their show, basically. So this have a little bit of Jason's story time. I've been out the last 3 months. I have been single since about, I don't know, April or May or so. So I've been, you know, slinging the cock around town, basically, and going on dates, you know, modern-day dates, which is something a little bit new to me. I haven't really gone on dates in quite a while. But, you know, I've been on a bunch, and, you know, your friends talk into these things, you know, double dates or blind dates or things like that. But my first is I got set up on a blind date at this coffee house. I didn't know this girl, you know, real well, more of a friend of a friend. So she comes in, you know, a cute chick, but I can tell, uh-oh, you know, this is a goth-type emo chick, you know, I got problems, I'm dark, I'm, you know, this, that, and the other. And she had a book in her hand, so I'm thinking, you know, why the fuck does she have a book in her hand? I don't know, you know, what the deal is there. So we sit down, we start chatting a little bit, we chat about, you know, common interests like, the anime and things like that. And, you know, I sort of, just comments she was making, I kind of brought up, like, what's the problem with emo kids, and why are they so unhappy, you know, sort of thing. And I guess she got offended by this, and she was just like, it's one of you people who don't understand, and you persecute us for our beliefs. And I'm like, you know, what beliefs do emo kids have? You know, they wear shitty clothing and have stupid haircuts and cry about nothing even though their lives are fine. And she started writing in this book, and I figure out later, it's her journal. So this chick, crazy chick, brings her journal along, starts writing it. By the time she starts scribbling in it, I goes, all right, this is not going to work. I'm out of here. And, you know, I took off, never saw her again. She was, you know, insane. So that was my first blind date sort of deal. So I'm just like, oh, my God. You know, even though she was good looking, I would have nailed her, but I couldn't put up with that sort of shit. So my next one, my buddy and his girlfriend goes, they know this girl. They say, cute, this, that, and the other. I've seen a picture of her, yippee-yo. I'm like, okay, set me up. So we go on a double date. So me and my buddy get there, and him and his girlfriend, or his girlfriend and her were coming later. So they come in, and I see his girlfriend, and I see this girl, who was orange. Literally orange, like a bad spray tan orange. And I haven't seen that type of tan since my high school prom or a lot of chicks. But she was Oompa Loompa orange. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, Jesus Christ. So she sits down, we have a good time, we're talking about stuff. And, you know, I keep just staring at her, and why is she orange? So his girlfriend and her go to the bathroom. I goes, why the fuck is she orange? Why isn't anyone referencing this? This is bizarre. You know, wouldn't someone bring up that she's orange? And he just told me to cool out and that sort of thing. And so basically, when she came back to the bathroom, and goes, why are you orange? You know, her face didn't really get red. You couldn't see, you know, because of the orange. But she just said she went to a shitty spray tanning, which I suspected. But, you know, the night went on, yippee-yo. We go back to my friend and his girlfriend's apartment. We're hanging out, you know, drinking, smoking, having a good time, getting lit. And they decide to go into the bedroom, whatever. So it's me and this chick, and I'll just say her name, Liz. Me and her have become friends after this, so I call her Liz the Orange Hairstylist because, you know, first time I met her, she's orange and she's a hairstylist. Good-looking chick. And, you know, one thing leads to another. We're fooling around on the couch, and you know, things start going on, advancing. Clothes start to come off. But when clothes start to come off, she gets nude, and I look at her, and she must have, when she went spray tanning, kept a bathing suit on, so her tits and her vagina and ass were white, were white. So it kind of looked like a jack-o'-lantern, if you will. Like, her tits were the eyes and her vagina was like a sideways-type mouth. She still looked hot, don't get me wrong. But it kind of looked like a jack-o'-lantern. But, you know, needless to say, I banged her. You know, who wouldn't? Hot chick. Really cool chick. We hang out all the time now. Yippee-yo. Liz the Orange Hair Stylist. You know, no. Now the story of our meeting is on my podcast, so... hey Liz, how are you doing? So that ends Jason's story time for today. I think that about does it for this show. Go to thebornintheeighties.com, check out the forums, blogs, something like that. I haven't updated the blog or the website in a while since I haven't had a computer, so I'll try to get those updated in the next, you know, few weeks or so. If you want to email, it's bornintheeighties@hotmail.com. You know, tell me what you think. And I think that about does it for this show, and until next time, even though a chick is orange, she can still be hot. This town is cold enough, I think it's sick of us. It's time to make a move, I'm shaking off the rust. I've got my heart set on anywhere but here. I'm staring down myself, counting up the years. Steady hand. Do you see what I